to you guys. We're going to go on with part five of Heroes. We're going to be talking about David today. So far, we talked about Samson and Joseph. We talked about Jonah and Moses. How many of you know some guys did really, really good? Some guys did really good at the end, but not so good in the middle, you know? Can some of you guys relate to some of these things? You do really, really good sometimes and not so much others. But today we're going to talk about David. And when you look at his life, it's the same principle with David. He did some really good things and he did some really bonehead things. You know, he did some really dumb things that he shouldn't have done and he repented for them. That's one of the things that we see in David's life. And we're not really going to talk about that part today, but when he messed up and when it was brought to his attention. So, men's breakfast yesterday, for those of you who weren't here, we were talking about how sometimes you get to a certain place before you realize that you're there, right? So, I've used the story about me at the beach and the drift and it bring me down the beach and the condo over and, readjust and realign in our lives, but sometimes we get into some positions and we don't realize we're there or we never would have went there, right? We didn't realize that's where we're going, but we're there. And then we have the decision of what we're going to do. And one of the things I love about David, again, this is not going to be a part of our notes, but what I love about David is that when he was presented with where he was at by the prophet, he said, God, forgive me. I've sinned against you. I need to change. I need to repent. I need to get my life right. Remember, repent is when you change your mind so drastically that it changes your life. If it doesn't change your life, it's not really repentance, right? Because true repentance brings change. Because you come out of that position. It's not like, I'm sorry I'm here. Let me just stay here for a while, right? That's not what repentance is. That's manipulation is what that is. I'm so sorry I've done this thing, but I'm going to keep doing it, right? If I did that to Dwayne, right? If I mistreated Dwayne, I'll say, oh, Dwayne, I'm so sorry. And then I continued to mistreat him in the exact same manner. Was there repentance? No, there was words, but there was no change. One of the things you see in David's life is that when he was brought with the issue, the problem, and he was shown it, he said, God, forgive me, and he changed. Right? He repented and he changed. On the other hand, you see Saul just before him that says, let me just cover it up, make sure I look good in front of people, and maybe we'll deal with it later. Right? That's where a lot of us are sometimes in our lives. We're sorry that we got caught, or we're sorry that we had the issue, and we really want it to be different, but I'm just going to stay here for a while, right? Because it's easier to stay the same than it is to change most times. You guys with me? One of the things that I love about David is that he had true repentance. He said, I'm so sorry, and changed, right? And we see that about him. But one of the other things we see about him that we see that is a common link to the other guys, God gives him what he's going to do, and there's a period of time before he gets there. And all along the way, getting there is the process to get him ready to be able to do what he's supposed to do. Remember, he was anointed king. I'm going to talk about that in a second. He was anointed king. Remember, Joseph had the dream, talked to his brothers about it. Then all that stuff happened, which prepared him and got him in the place to do what God called him to do, where the dream was. And David is just another example of don't let the period between the dream, the plan that God has given you, and the time that it comes to fruition discourage you or stop you from continuing on, right? We need to make sure that if God has said it, if he's given us this dream, and we're doing what he's laid out and asked us to do, we're doing our part, then he's going to do his part. Whether we don't see it right now or we see it later. Again, he was anointed king. It was many years before he was in that position. One of the things that we see about David, again, is the heart that he had towards God, towards the things of God. And if you read the Psalms, you go through there, a lot of the Psalms are written by him, were written by him. And you see the heart of change, the heart of repentance, the heart of I don't understand where I'm at. God, I want you to make it different. And then the break in the thing, how God made it different, right? So we need to remember that in our lives. But the premise behind this series is coming out of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Remember, when we're talking here of verse chapter 11, he talked about by faith. It's the faith chapter. All these people did all these things by faith, and the heroes and what they did and how they overcame and how they did things for God. So if you want to go back and read that, and see all those different things and how faith is important. But this premise on this verse is, since we have that, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run the race with endurance that is set before us. Right? We need to look at their lives and what they did and take from it and put it and apply it to our lives. How many of you know the principles are still the same? Principles, God's principles work. Whether it's their life or my life or your life, His principles work. And if we see them in play and working here and can learn from it, maybe then we don't end up where they, in the belly of a fish. I hope none of y'all end up in the belly of a fish. I'm just saying, me too, I hope. But anyway, what we want to do is, if we were running the race and they're watching us, if they could come and tell us something out of what they've done, out of their lives, what would it be? And so that's how we're looking at the story today. We're going to be doing about David. If he stepped out of watching us and ran a couple laps with us as we were running this late race called life, what would he say to us? And today, again, if he would pull it up, he could tell you. One of the things we definitely know he could tell us, and that's the one of the big things David is known for, is how to defeat the giants that are in our life, how to defeat the big things that are coming at us, what we need to do. And we still have giants. We still have issues. We still have problems. We still have things that are bigger than ourselves, right, that we need help with, that we need God to show us what to do and how to do it. And again, his word does that. So backstory on David again, he's tending the sheep. He's a ruddy youth is what they call it in the scripture. And the prophet is coming. He's going to anoint. He said, have all your sons there. And he's going to anoint one as king. Now, whether he already knew he was going to anoint one as king, or whether he prophet shows up and he's like, hey, this is what God told me to do. I'm here. Where's your boys? Right? So he could have done that. But one of the things we see is that David's father didn't think enough of him to even come to see what was going on. When he said, bring all your sons, he left David out in the field. Well, he's not important. He's doing this. He doesn't need to be there. And so we see that happen. Then we see Samuel come and say, hey, man, this ain't none of these guys. Is there another one? He's like, he's in the field. Well, we're going to wait till he gets here, right? We're not going to do nothing till he gets here. Go get him. He comes. He anoints him as king. And then what does David do? He puts on the crown and the thing and got the scepter, and he's going to be king. Wrong Bible, right? That's not in there, right? He doesn't do that. What happens? He goes right back to watching the sheep. All right, king, go watch the sheep, right? That's probably what the brothers were saying when everything was going on, right? So he goes and he's watching the sheep and he's doing these things, and his brothers go off to fight a battle, and his father says, hey, I want you to take this bread and this cheese and take it over to the people, to the generals that are there. And while you're there, I want you to check on your brothers and see how they're doing. Make sure they're okay. And then I want you to come back and give me a report. Right? So he's going. He goes and he sits there. And as soon as he gets there, he sees the Philistines and Goliath come out and start cussing a God, cursing God, and saying different things and defiling the armies, talking about all these things about the armies of God and what they are. And he's doing all these things to provoke someone to come out and to fight him, basically. And everyone was scared, even Saul, the king, which was head and shoulders above all the rest. This guy was 9'9", they say, according to history. And he goes to deliver pizza, basically, without the red sauce, and sees this guy yelling and screaming and talking about how horrible God is, right? He goes and he says, this should not be. There are so many things in this world right now that we should be standing up and saying, this is not so, instead of hiding. Just a thought. David gets ready to take on the giant. He talks to the king. And the king says, all right, big boy, you go on out there. Take this, take that. When he stands in front of the king, one of the things we need to in your notes, the first thing we need to think about is, when we're facing a battle or a situation or anything, We need to remember what God has done for us in the past, what he's already taken care of. So think this thought. Why would God bring you through all these things to not help you now? Same thing was with the Israelites, right? He delivered you. He parted the sea. He killed the Egyptians coming out, army coming after you. He brought you into the wilderness. You'd be like, well, he just brought us here to die. Why would he do that? Like, does that even make sense? Think this thought. Sometimes the questions that we ask in the midst of our storm really don't make any sense if we look at what God has done in the past, right? Look at what God has brought us through. We need to remember the victories of the past, what God has done. If he's done it before, he can do it again. Why? Because he's the same God yesterday, today, and forever, right? All the past victories should give us confidence about everything that's coming. And we need to understand that the past battles prepared us, again, this is a common theme of this whole sermon series, is that our past prepares us to be able to do what he's called us to do. Face the bigger ones, right? David remembered that he killed the lion. He remembered when he was protecting him. He remembered he killed the bear. He remembered all these things and how God did this for him. Now, you notice David fought, but he fought and did what God told him to do. Right? Something inside David rose up at that moment when the giant was saying these things, and he said, God's done it in the past, he's going to do it now. And I love what he says. Let's look at the story of Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 17. I'm going to read verse 32, then I'm going to skip down and read 36 and 37. And David said this to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him, talking about Goliath. Your servant will go and fight the Philistine. Basically, he said, I've got this. And then Saul says, okay, well, you go right ahead. Now, I don't know if he was like, okay, big boy, you go do it. Or if his heart was changed and he said, okay, I'll send you out there. Because this is one of the things that you read about the story is that had David lost, according to what Goliath had brought forward, then all of the Israelites would be their slaves. Right? But if David won, this little boy, then all of the Philistines would be the Israelites' slaves. That was the bargain, right? So we see him send him out there, and this is what David says. He's like, hey, send me out. Don't let anything worry you. Because verse 36, your servant has struck down both lions and bears. This uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God. And David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. One of the things that he says is he's done it before, he'll do it again. That's what he says. He doesn't say, I killed the bear and I killed the lion. What does he say? The Lord delivered them into my hand. He delivered me from this. He delivered me from that. He's going to do it from here too. We need to remember that, man. God is the one who fights our battles. God is the one who wins our battles. We see in David's life all the way up, man. We see Jesse not believe in him. We see Saul. Maybe Saul believed in him. Maybe he didn't and just sent him off. I don't know. It doesn't really say that in the scripture, right? We just see him going out. But we see things that are impossible for certain people and in the eyes of people that God does, right? His whole family thought it was impossible for him to be king, right? We see all of the Israelite army. We see the brothers when he comes and starts to say something, but like, hey, man, just go. Hey, king, just go take care of your sheep, okay? Right? That's what they tell him. Where have you left those few sheep that you're supposed to be watching over? You're not big enough. You're not important enough to be able to do anything like this. So you need to leave it alone. Do you know what that's the biggest lie of the enemy in our lives? You're not able to take care of this. You're not big enough to take care of this. Why are you even trying or thinking to attempt something like this? But David knew something that Saul just couldn't get. Do you know what? there were probably a lot of men in the army that God wanted to use or could have used, but they refused to stand up. Now, this is the thing. David did it. David gets credit for it. David is used. It strengthens David. He gets to understand. So don't let me negate the fact that God has a plan and a purpose and that we get to walk in it, right? But who could have stood up and fought this Goliath and done a good job and freed the Israelites from this battle that they were in, gotten them from that? But David says, I remembered how he did it before, and I know that he will do it again. God is our refuge. He's our strength. Scripture says he's an ever-present help in our time of troubles. If he's done it before, he will do it again, man. Just keep holding on to that. With God on your side, what is impossible becomes possible. This is a quote. This is not a scriptural quote, but it's a quote, and it's so true when we rely on God. But strength doesn't come from what you can do. It comes from overcoming things you thought you couldn't do once. There are so many things that we look at and say, God, how am I going to, I can't get through this. I can't get through this. Do you know where strength comes from? Us saying, I can't get through this, God, I need you. It's not from what we can do. It's from the past things that God has done in our lives. With God on our side, we can do the impossible. So that's the first lesson, man. Remember how God has helped you in the past. The second one is this. Don't try to be someone else. Be yourself. Man, if we could learn that in our lives. If we could learn that in our ministries. John touched on it last week. One of the things I want to tell you guys, man, thank you so much for last week, man. It was such a blessing to April and myself. And the gifts that you gave and the kind words that you said and the things that you did for us, man. We really, really appreciate it. Thank you so much for that. We needed it. I mean, you know, sometimes you need it. Sometimes you need it. We needed it. And so just so y'all know, we're going to put some of what y'all gave to us last week into play tonight and tomorrow night because we like camping. And so we bought some camping cots. And we're going to be sleeping on cots instead of on air mattresses tonight and in the 50-degree, 49-degree weather. Yes, what I'm talking about. I love it. We got some other stuff too, but thank you so much for that, man. It's we're excited about it. We're going to head over to the coast and just have a good time. It's going to be fun. So pray for us. Pray for my kids and my wife because they don't have as much insulation as I do, right? It's going to be cold out. But one of the things that we need to remember again is don't try to be something that you're not, man. God created each and every one of us. And John, like I said, John touched on it last week when he said, you know, we went and watched and Stephen Furtick was preaching. And whether you like Stephen Furtick, whether you don't like Stephen Furtick, doesn't matter. That's not the issue. The thing is, he is an amazing presenter. He is an awesome presenter. How he presents the word and how he says what he says. And now he's completely different than I am. Right? I cry. He screams. Right? He yells a lot when he gives what he does. I cry. John doesn't cry. He's more chill and relaxed. Like we're and this is the thing. I could be here in this place, in this pulpit, and I could be trying to be like John. Or I could try to be like my father, who was here before John, which y'all know he's an amazing man of God too. I don't understand how John could follow him even in himself. You know what I'm saying? John is an amazing speaker, but the head thought about stepping in behind someone that does an amazing job. How am I going to fill those shoes? Have you ever been in that position? But this is the thing. God didn't call John to fill my dad's shoes. He didn't call me to fill John or my dad's shoes. He called me to put mine on and to walk in them, right? And this is the thing. There's some people that love Stephen Furtick and the excitement and how he gets the crowd all going. There's some people that don't. Right? There's some people that, yeah. There's some people that think I tell too many jokes and need to calm it down a little bit. That's okay. I'm still going to be me. That's one of the things that I've always said when I come and when we were first starting out, man, is that I'm going to be me here the same way I'm me out there. Like if my conversation of you, we're going to be sitting at dinner, something funny comes in my head, I'm going to tell it to you and interrupt everything. Just, I will. That's who I am. I'm going to do the same thing here. Some people are like, well, you shouldn't do that. Well, you shouldn't do that. But I've got to be me, right? I need to be who I am. And God is going to use that for his kingdom. He's going to make me the most effective me that I can be. Listen to this quote. I love this. God gave you a fingerprint that no one else has so that you can leave an impact that no one else can. You need to think that thought. There's things that you can do that no one else can do. They might can do it, but it's not going to be what it would be if you were doing it. Right? I don't need to change myself so that I can fit what everybody else wants me to be. I need to change myself for what God wants me to be. That's who I need to worry about. Remember when I talked about sharing Jesus, right? I don't need to worry about what those people think about me after I've shared Jesus. I need to worry about what they think about him after I've shared him. Right? They can laugh at me. They can do whatever they want to do at me. And that's okay. I want them to see him. I want them to hear him. And I want them to hear the right version of what he is. How many of you know there's a lot of wrong versions about who Jesus is and who God is in the world today? That's why I need to make sure. That's why I need to study to show myself approved. Right? A workman not being ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You need to be the same. But you don't need to change to be somebody else. Saul was trying to put on his armor on David. Remember, David, ruddy youth. Saul, head and shoulders above the rest. Have you ever seen a little kid? I think it's hilarious when my daughters would try to put on my wife's clothes when they were toddlers and then big old shoes, right? You ever seen a little kid? You're like, clomp, 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 down the thing in the shoes. Imagine them going to fight a giant. That's David in Saul's armor. Sometimes we try to put things that are too big for us right now on and walk in them, and it's a mess. That's one of the reasons why, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to start small. Be faithful in the little things. When you're faithful in the little things, you'll get big things. You'll grow into them, right? You'll grow spiritually, same as physically. We need to grow into some things. And David, Saul was trying to put his armor on. Saul, chapter 17, verse 39 through 40. Then Saul clothed David with his armor, Saul's armor. He put on a helmet of bronze on his head and clothed him with a coat of chainmail. Those chainmail, if you guys watch any of the old medieval things, that's the they put on over their head. It come up. It was all made of little links of chain put together so that it wouldn't pierce through it. Right? It would stop things that were coming. So he put that on, and I imagine him put, all right, I'm gonna use a secular movie real quick. Did y'all ever watch The Lord of the Rings and the little trilogy that they had? And there was one time when they were all about to go out to fight in the battle, and the little troll put on the grown-up people, like the big people stuff, and he put it on and went, and it piled up at the floor, and he's like, I can't move. You guys remember that? That's what I see David as, right, at that moment. He's like, I can't do this. If he would have gone out with that, he would have been defeated. Why? Because he didn't know it. He hadn't tested it. He hadn't tried it. We want to go out and fight with stuff we haven't ever tested and tried before. Try fighting the devil without knowing the word of God. He knows it better than you. He quotes it, misquotes it to get you to do things you ain't supposed to do. He puts his armor on. Verse 39 says, David strapped his sword over his armor and tried to go in vain. Tried in vain to go, for he had not tested them. Then David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them. So David put them off. He took his staff, and he chose 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in his shepherd's pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. He said, I can't go with those things because I don't know nothing about them. But I do know what I have, and I do know how to use what I have. And then we go back to what God said to Moses, like, what do you have in your hand? Use that. Don't try to use stuff you don't know about. You know, when you're doing your everyday life, man, don't try and be bigger than what you are. Just be where you're at and do what you can do. And this is the thing. When each one of us do a little bit, do you know how much gets accomplished? Look, yesterday, in this room right here, it looked like ants at a picnic. I'm just be real. We had a table up here. We had four or five people around the table. One person was cutting tape and having it on their finger. Like, she was standing here like this with the stuff on her fingers. And one was wrapping. I'm like, here you go. And they're like, pop. Everybody, people was grabbing stuff and going, putting them in the baskets. And it was all getting done. Why? Because everybody did a little bit. Right? If we all do a little bit, do you know what we'll accomplish? David said, if he was walking with us today, use what you know. Use what you've proven. Don't try the latest, greatest thing, right? Do what you know to do and do it well. Do it the best that you can do it. And again, what the scripture bears out over and over again, don't be someone else. Be who God created you to be. Pray the way that you pray. Fight the way that you fight. Quit trying to be someone you're not. This is one of a saying that my pastor used over and over and over. You know how somebody tells you something? You know, you sit under them for so many years, you learn stuff, and you start talking like them and using their stuff. Well, this is one from him, Carl Kelly, and it says, you were born an original, don't die a copy. Don't die a copy. Be you. Be who you're supposed to be. Do you know when you copy something, it's never as good as the original? Right? And the more you copy it, the worse the copy becomes. Don't be a horrible copy. Be your original self. Be who God created you to be. And you will make the impact that no one else can. No one else can. Look, I'm horrible at being other people. I tried. When I first became a kids pastor, man, first thing I did, I went out and bought like 3 suits. So I'm in a suit and a tie, and I'm teaching little kids on Sunday because that's what pastors do. Do you know, I was horrible at that. And I look funny in the suit, y'all. I'm just saying. Some people are like, no, you look good in the suit. I'm like, I saw the mirror. Like, I saw what just happened in there. You can't tell me any different, right? But I was trying to be somebody else. I was trying to do these other things. And it was horrible. It was horrible. But when I started being myself and getting in the floor and playing with kids and running around and telling jokes and being dumb with my little kids and my friends, acting not my age, but what my wife says I am, she's like, I got 3 kids, Sydney, Shelby, and him, right? Anyway, it's one of those things. When I did what I did, I love hanging out with kids. I love playing with kids. I love doing stuff, man. It's fun, right? When I started doing that, do you know everything changed in the lives of those little kids? Their attitude towards me, their attitude towards life, their attitude towards their parents at home because they came and would tell us those things, right? Don't be somebody else, man. Be yourself and the impact that will happen because of it. The enemy tells you you can't do it because of who you are. God says I can use you because of who you are, right? Look at all the people that he used in the scripture. All of them were mess ups. All of them, except Jesus. He's the only one who did everything right. And you can't be him. You can still try. That's the only person that we need to imitate, right? It's him. This is what you need to do. Be you. You do you. Be the best you can be. Do it the best that you can do it. Because like me, you stink at being other people. But you are awesome as yourself. You're awesome as yourself. Don't try to be someone else. Be yourself. The next one. Number 3, ignore the voices of limitations in your life. Don't let people put those on you. And don't listen to them yourself. How many of you know you're the one that puts the biggest limitations on you? You're the one that puts the biggest limitations on you. And there will always be people in your life that tell you you can't do it. Always. They'll always. Those will be the same people that are standing behind you saying, I knew you could do it the whole time when you get done doing it. So just put that in a closet and pull it out when you need to wear them, Cinderella, right? There's going to be some people tell you you can't do it. Like, you know, my last conversation when I left the Navy, he said, you'll amount to nothing. You're worthless. That's what he told me as I was my last interview going out. I remember who it is. I can say his name, but I ain't going to say his name. That, you know, those kind of things stick with you sometimes, right? I can say who he is. And do you know what? For a while, I allowed those limitations to be who I was. I told other people that was who I was for a while. It wasn't until I gave my life to Christ and he said, look, you're not those things. You're who I created you to be. It's not until I got in the Word and I saw what he said about me and who I was and who he created me to be. It wasn't until that moment that all the limitations people put on me stopped. Listen to this thought. Your only limitations are those that you set for yourself. Because with God, you can do anything. All things are possible. What Scripture says, right? But so many times we allow the voices of limitations of what I can and I can't do, the voices from the enemy, the voices from our past, the voices from... You, listen, first of all, if you're a new creation in Christ, your past, it doesn't hold you back. All things are made new. Not most of the stuff except the really bad things are made new. That's not what it says. It says the old is gone, the new is here. So let's walk in it. Let's walk in it. Let's ignore the voices that are in our heads. Again, you see the prophet Samuel came to Jesse's house to anoint the family. Want somebody in the family. Lined up all the brothers. He wasn't there. Don't you have another son? Yeah, but he's just a teenager. He's not going to be king. He's not even good enough to come and hang out while his brothers are being made king. You can't win. Then you have Saul. Like, well, here, you can't do it with what you got. You're going to have to try and be something better than you are. That's what he said. That's what he told him. Here, take this armor because you don't have what it takes. You're going to need what I give you too. How many times do we hear that from the world? You're going to need this. You're not good enough to do this. You're going to have us to help you. You're going to have us to give you these things. You can't do those things. Man, you can. God's called you to do it. You can do it. 100%. And then he stands in front of Goliath, and what does he say? Are you guys kidding me right now? You just sent this little boy with a stick and a couple stones? Are you for real? Well, I'm a dog that you're going to do these things to me? It's what he says in the Word. Another voice saying, you're limited because of who you are. When God says, it's because of who you are, there are no limitations. Samuel, 1 Samuel 17, 43 and 44. And the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field. You can't win. You can't do this. So we have his father telling him that he's not good enough to be king. He's not king material. We have the king that told him that he doesn't have what it takes to be a champion in a battle. He needs other stuff. And let me give you what you need. Then we have the giant says, you can't win. You just made the biggest mistake of your life coming here because this is what I'm going to do to you. Thank God David never listened to the limitations, the voices that people tried to put on him. We need to quit listening to those voices, man. They say you can't, but God says you can. Again, your only limitations are those that you set for yourself. One of the things that we forget, we're not big enough to do it, but us plus God is the majority in any situation. God said, all you need is some rocks and a slingshot and go out there. Like, well, I can't kill a 9-foot-9 giant in all armor that's huge with a slingshot and some stones. David said, man, with what God has given me, anything's possible. Because God is going to fight this battle for me. God delivered me from the bear. God delivered me from the lion. God's going to deliver me from this. So remember that he's helped you in the past. Don't try to be somebody else. Be yourself. Ignore the voices of limitation in your life. And the last thing that we're going to do is expect God to show up. Expect it. Expect it. David knew he wasn't fighting the giant by himself. He knew he wasn't alone. And this is the thing. You're not facing your giants by yourself either. You're not facing the situations by yourself either. If you are, you're doing them wrong. Right? If you are, it's you trying to do it and you're leaving God out of the equation. Don't ever do that, man. Don't ever leave him out of the equation. Take everything to him. You are not alone. And this is the one thing that David knew, and it's on the screen. The giant in front of you is never bigger than the God inside of you. Ever. Ever. It might be big. God's bigger. It might be strong. God's stronger. Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 45 through 47. Then David said to the Philistine, "You come at me with a sword, with a spear, with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled." And then he says this, "This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut your head off." So he called it. He'd be like, "Look, I'm going to knock you down, and then I'm going to cut your head off. That's what I'm doing. This is what's about to happen right now." He said, "This is what's going to happen." Not, "I wonder if God's going to show up today and help me with this battle, or if I'm standing here all alone." That's not what he said. He expected God to show up. He expected God to do these things. He says, "And I will give the dead body of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." Do you know what? The world sees that there's a God by watching your life and what happens in it. That's how they know he's here. "And that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves, not with a sword and a spear, for the battle is the Lord, and he will give you into our hands." Do you notice he didn't say "my hands"? It's all about me. Look at me. He's like, "You see this host that's behind me right here? We are God's children. We're his people. And you're not going to be able to defeat us, regardless of what you think, regardless of what you say. God is going to take care of you today, and we get to watch it. We get to watch it." You know what? We need to speak to the giants that are in our life. We need to claim God's word over those situations, over what is said. Man, your giant might be depression, addiction, sickness, guilt, or something else. You know what? We need to speak to it. This is what he did when he got there and he was standing there looking at the giant. He said, "This is what's going to happen. You come at me with a sword and a spear. You come at me with all these things, but I come at you in the name of the Almighty, the Lord God Almighty. I come at you with him, and he's going to take care of you. He's going to take care of you." We need to start speaking to our situations. "It's not in my strength that I'm come. I'm coming against you in the name of the Lord." And depression and addiction and sickness and guilt, you have got to go. You don't belong here. You don't belong here. You're defeated. Why? How do I know you're defeated? Because the scripture says, "For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands today." Every situation that you battle, God is bigger than it, and he wants to take care of it. God wants you to know again that you and him are the majority in the situation. There's nothing with God on our side that is impossible. There's nothing that we can't accomplish. His word says it. It says this. It says, "If God is for you, who can be against you?" It says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. That means there's no temptation that's going to overtake you. There's nothing that is bigger than you in your life. You have everything that you need to be able to take care of these situations. That's what Paul's talking about in that situation. He's like, "I've learned to be content. I can be content regardless of where I'm at because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." So in the midst of this drought that I'm going through, the midst of this problem, this issue that I have right now, it's okay. I'm going to get through it because God strengthens me and I can do all things. Scripture tells us that we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. More than conquerors. We don't just win barely. We're more than conquerors. We didn't just squeak by. I was watching football last night while we was at the restaurant eating dinner, and this team just in the very last 28 seconds scored a touchdown, just barely beat them, and they were super happy, but they were super worried the whole time. But do you know one of the things that happens when you watch football and one team is just completely destroying the other team? There is no fear in the team that they're going to win. There's no. You see what I'm saying? We are in our thought process, in our mind, we are barely scraping by to defeat this thing that's here. And God says that we're more than conquerors. We're not have to barely scrape by in these things. We can sit there without fear, without anxiety, without all these things, knowing that he is going to take care of it. Again, it's really easy for me to tell you this right now, standing here. And it's really hard when you think you're barely scraping by. I know that thought too. I know that thought too. God says we don't have to live that way. God says we don't have to live that way. Expect God to show up. I want you to bow your heads, close your eyes. Aaron, you can come on back. This thought, man, is what I want you to think. Right now, the giant that's coming in front of you. I want you to think back right this second. First of all, I want you to think what it is. I want you to put it in your mind right now. The battle that you're facing, the thing that you're going through, the giant that's too big for you. And I want you to think about it right now. Now I want you to do this. I want you to think back at the other battles you faced. What was your battle 5 years ago that you couldn't overcome? You're still here. What was your battle 10 years ago that you couldn't overcome? It was so big, you couldn't get through it. You were worried. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Nobody looking around, please. What was it then? This battle, just like David, is going to be no different than the one that was in the past. Now I want you to do this. I want you to think in your mind. You say, why are you doing this? Because I want us to this helps me. Maybe it'll help you. I want you to put that situation right now at the feet of God. I want you to take the situation that's so big that you can't get around, that you can't get through, whatever it is, and I want you to put it at his feet right now. Dear Heavenly Father, as we put these things in our mind at your feet, as we think about what you've done in the past and the battles that you brought us through, help us see this one in your hands. You're taking care of it. You're fighting our battles. You're restoring, you're freeing, you're breaking chains. Let us have, Holy Spirit, the peace that passes understanding. We ask for restoration to come. We ask for freedom to come. We ask for healing to come. And right now, God, we expect see you in this situation. We're going to look for you in this situation. And we're going to look for the good that you're going to bring out of it. Help us lay off all the limitations and the things that people have put on us and the words of the past, because they are the past. And we're new creations in you. We don't have to hold on to those things and allow those things to impact our future. We love you and we thank you. Help us see you in it now, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Now, this is the one thing that I didn't get to ask you last week, that I wanted to ask you last week. 2 weeks ago, I put you guys to a test, to a challenge, and I said, I want you to do this. I don't want you to raise your hand, but I want you to think. How many of you found opportunities to share Jesus Christ with someone? With anyone? How many of you took a daily plan to say, I'm going to do this today? And how many of you didn't? Look, if you didn't, it's okay. Right? Because the past is where? In the past. But I will tell you this. This is one thing that and it's a secular saying, but it works in the scripture too, that if you don't plan, or if you fail to plan, you plan to fail, yep. Right? So I want you to plan one person, whether you pick them out or whether you're saying, I'm going to Walmart. While I'm at Walmart shopping, whoever's in the line next to me, I'm going to tell them about Jesus. It don't have to be long. It don't have to be in depth. But like, look, my pastor said that I need to tell you about Jesus and encouraged me to share my testimony. Can I share it with you? And do you know what? Some of them will say no, but they'll see the boldness that you have. And the more you do it, the easier it'll get. Right now, some of y'all be like, I won't even say excuse me to the people in line next to me. You know, if they're standing in my way, I ain't going to say that. Look, do it. Plan. Plan to do it. And if you get up there and you're like, it's okay. Just do it again. Try it again.
You should expect to fail.
Yeah, I mean,
like,
yeah.
Just plan on that being like, it's a part of it. You're gonna mess it up.
That's one of the things I loved about one of the sermons I preached not too long ago. And it was the bank manager. Shane, you weren't here that day. It was the bank manager and the new bank manager coming into the old bank manager. And he said to the old bank manager, who was wise and had been there for years, and this was a young guy coming in, and he didn't know what to do. And he said, man, I need some advice. What do I do? And the guy said, how do I make this successful? And he said, two words, good decisions. He's like, well, that's all well and good and everything, but how do I make good decisions? He said, bad decisions, right? Or no. He says experience. He's like, well, how do I get experience? He says, bad decisions, right? You're going to make some mistakes. You're going to mess up, but you're going to learn from them. So again, even when you share, huh?
Say glory to God.
Yeah, even when you share and you mess something up, it's okay. You got another chance. You got another opportunity. Just let's not hold what Christ has given us to just ourselves. We should be sharing it with everyone. Everyone. And again, you may be like, listen, I'm not good at that. There's a lot of stuff that you're not good at until you start doing it. There's a lot of you that couldn't cook when you started cooking. Burn a lot of chickens, right? Messed up a lot of bacon stuff. There's stuff that happened. We all have to start. And again, start small. But let's share Jesus with everyone we come in contact with. Amen? I'm going to pray, then he's going to sing, and then we're going to get out of here. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for today, your love, grace, and mercy. We thank you that you give us opportunities. God, help us now to see them. Help us, Holy Spirit, to be strong and to stand up and do what your word says that gives us a boldness to be your witnesses. To share how good you are, to talk about what you've done in our lives and how you can change other people's lives. Man, help us do that, and help us to remember to be ourselves in the midst of everything that we do, Father God, and do what you've created us and called us to do. In Jesus' name, everybody said?